about good things and singing the blues. You went your way and I stayed behind. We both knew it was just a matter of time. Living the dreams, oh, you on top. My mind is aching, Lord, it won't stop. That's how it happens, living life by the drop. No waste of time.
We good?
Woo! Hello, everybody, and welcome back.
Hello.
To Living Clean and Sober, Johnny Rags and my co-host.
Hello.
Ken McDonald.
Hello.
And, of course, we have Mr. Arthur
over there. Arthur, you retired devil, yo.
He retired. Congratulations, Artie, for retiring. My man.
It's still morning.
Hello, everyone. Yeah, still morning. Welcome back. It seems like we've been gone forever.
Good to be back.
Yeah, it is.
Guess what happened to me this morning, Johnny?
What happened to you?
I woke up.
Oh, he woke up. We knew that, I thought. Maybe I didn't. I don't know.
No, you did. You're here, man. You're
yeah,
with
we
us.
Are here, and we are rocking tonight. We're here with a spirited show for you.
Yep.
From
yep.
City of Angels and beautiful. Where are we coming from?
Beautiful.
Hightstown.
Hightstown.
You never heard of the Hightstown Diner? Google it.
Welcome, everybody, to the show.
What a town this is, huh, Art?
City of Angels.
How did you find this place? It's great.
Yeah, this is awesome.
So much history. And
this is great. It's better than we got.
If you ride by them on the streets, they wave to you.
We got lucky here. Yeah, I know. It was like living in the Midwest all over again.
Unbelievable. You're so nice.
When I lived, when I moved to Illinois, man, I went into a store and they were like, hello. And I was like, are you talking to me? I'm from Jersey. They don't even serve you, nevertheless greet you.
Right. I don't know. We're sitting here before the show started. I'm getting hit with batteries and all that.
Oh. Art was.
But welcome again back to the show. And, of course, my dear friend and co-host, Ken McDonald.
Ditto.
City of Angels, you can go to www.cityofangelsnj.org to see all the great stuff we do, addiction and recovery, family groups. Just go to their website, go to our website, and you can check it all out. And, of course, if you're listening and you'd like to call in, because we have a great guest tonight.
Liz, that's right. Welcome, Liz.
Lizzie, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Dear.
Happy you're to welcome. Be here.
She's heavenly. This
Say week. Hello.
Say hi.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
I like that.
Then when we end the show, we'll say goodnight, Liz.
Goodnight, Liz.
Goodnight, Liz. Artie, how are you?
I'm good.
Good. I'm glad to be
good.
Back.
That leaves
I'm
us
working on getting well rested.
That leaves us nothing to talk about when Artie's doing good.
Does that mean you're not going to greet our listeners with good morning
oh,
anymore?
Oh, no, I'm not going to change that at all.
Nah, we can't. That's a stipend.
My day still starts
right
at 8.
A staple.
Yeah, a show's it. Staple.
At this point in time, I would like to dedicate this show to our 5 officers who lost their lives in Dallas last week. We salute them and their families. And we got a great show tonight, so I want to dedicate it right now to them. And their families are in our prayers.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Sad state of affairs in this country between the heroin epidemic and people killing people. It's crazy. So, Liz, again, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
How are you this evening?
I'm doing good.
If you're doing it half as good as you look, then you're fabulous.
Johnny.
Right, I agree with that. Yeah.
I hear you.
You too.
Look
Artie,
good, feel good, play good. That's it.
Some things are better left unsaid.
I hear you, brother. Artie's very candid.
I am outnumbered right now.
I like
that. Artie has his retirement suit on.
Right.
Life
what
isn't
what does that
anymore.
Look like?
Actually,
got
this
a lot
is
of
more clothes than I'd be cared of wearing. But
yeah. Which
how long have you been retired?
2 days.
That's the best, isn't it?
Liz turned into the host for a minute.
I
stuck right over.
I Look did.
Actually, my position was eliminated, so I was kind of forced into semi-retirement.
Nice.
Semi. What does that mean? Half?
Well, now I only have one job.
And you do it well, my friend.
Well, it's good, Art. I mean, that's what you've been wanting to happen anyway, pretty much.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know when it's time, just like anything else. I mean, you know, this, when we started this show, John, it was just, we kind of knew it was our time to, you know, step up to the plate. It was perfect timing.
Absolutely.
You know, this organization offered us an opportunity to let people know that there's, you know, help out there, man. City of Angels has a ton of resources. Willing to help people, go to, you know, any length. And that's how we all live our lives here in this room. Yep. I mean, you know.
So instead of working all night, now I do City of Angels all day.
USA, up all day.
Up all day.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Instead that's good. You're needed.
You need to get that
COA
joke.
Runs on Duncan.
You do a good job over there, too, Art. You know what I mean? So
I have to commend you for that. And I missed...
Do you miss me? It's been like 2 weeks, man. It's been a long time.
Has it been a couple? Yeah. I thought it was three. But
I was on vacation. You were on vacation. Then we were all on vacation.
Well, I was doing business out in California. I mean, it was. I did play one round of golf.
I was doing business in Atlantic City.
Where I was doing business where I was doing business. But we all enjoyed the 4th Independence Day.
Absolutely.
Freedom. What did you do for Independence Day, Lizzie?
What did I do for Independence Day? I was on the beach. That's what I did.
Really?
Yep.
Did you enjoy the beach immensely, did you?
Love it. And I was on it today, too, actually. Wow. As you could see.
I could see, but they can't.
They can't.
Describe how your beach experience was today, if you would.
Today?
Yeah.
Very peaceful. Very peaceful. Yeah. I wish I didn't have to leave, you know, but I had to go home and get myself together to come here. You know?
And you got yourself together very well, might I add.
Well, thank you. And I had a nice meal with you gentlemen. Thank you again for that.
Stop calling us names, Liz.
Oh, right. I forgot about
that's
that.
That's a stretch.
They behaved tonight?
No, I mean, look, there's a lot to be said with that. I mean, you don't live around the corner.
Ready, set, go!
I mean, tell us about that. I mean, your focus of... You know, wanting to drive. It took you a couple hours to get here. It's not like
I live in
you're
South
around
Jersey.
The corner. And mm-hmm. Let's talk about that commitment.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're asked to do something, especially from you two guys, you know, you just make the commitment and you come do it. You know, I just was grateful to be asked and happy to be here. And I'm just, you know, I'm honored, you know, to be a part of, you know, what you guys are doing here. I have to say, you know, I walked in the room and it's very intimidating with your microphones and the table. I had no idea what to expect. And
that's all right. We didn't want all this.
Like,
we didn't want all this equipment.
Already the technological demon. That
this is a way improvement from what we came from at the
Delaware
Center.
Yeah, it is.
I'm used to like the meeting atmosphere, you know?
Well, this is just a conversation, so it's like a meeting. You know, why don't you tell us a little bit how you got here? Not today, I mean, your life, like what brought you to this recovery process, and you know, how have you maintained that, and what are you doing today? Because you are free, I can tell by the look on your face. You know?
I am free, and the whole fiasco getting here and missing my turns—that was—that's a whole nother show. But how I got here, you know, I entered recovery late in life, you know, a month before my 49th birthday. My clean date is January 19th, 2011. And I just, you know, had five years clean in January. Thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah. And, you know, it was my first time in recovery. So, you know, I had all those years of all that inner unmanageability that we have going on and, you know, denial and all that craziness.
No
and,
denial. Get out of here.
Yeah. You know, just really? You don't want to admit to anything.
So
you
were
know,
you saying that there wasn't any freedom when you came here?
Was there any freedom when I first came here?
Before you got here.
Oh, before I got here? Looking back compared to what I have now, my freedom today than what I had compared to what I had then is, I can't even compare it. You know, I have the freedom to do whatever I want to do today because I'm not using, you know. I'm not limited, you know. you know, I just have to keep putting my one foot forward and doing what I have to do for my recovery, because, you know, I have a choice every day. Recovery is not an option, it's a choice. And, you know, I made that choice.
Right.
And I jumped into it. You know, had a lot of healthy fears, you know, ran on fear. And, you know, like when I first entered, I just was so depleted, stripped, you know. My spirit was stripped. I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was doing. And then to go through the process, not to get stripped again, you know, through the step process. And, you know, I had to learn a lot of things about myself. And that's been the beauty of it. Because learning the things that I could change, you know, through putting the work in and, you know, my spiritual journey, my relationship with my higher power, it's just amazing. It's just, it's all, you know, it's awesome. It's an awesome kind of a feeling, you know, that personal relationship that I have with my God. And, you know, I'm grateful for that. And every day is, you know, every day is a journey. You know, some days are more of a journey than others, and some are not.
It's like a reawakening, huh?
Yeah, it really is. It really is. And I don't know. I get to meet a lot of really cool people that are like me, you know, that have, you know, the same feelings that I do, and, you know, we can identify with each other and help me get through things. And, you know, I've had some really wonderful sponsors in my recovery process that have strong recovery and that have, you know, helped mold me into the person that I am today. And I'm grateful for that, you know. But, you know, every day it's like, you know, you have to stay plugged in. And, you know, I learned to become so aware of myself and what I'm going through that, you know, I know when I need a meeting. I know when I need to pick up the phone. You know, the life that I have today is because of the footwork that I put in. You know, being involved in service, writing on steps, having a home group, sponsoring women. And, you know, that's another thing that I've learned is that, you know, I was so passionate about my recovery when I came in that I thought everybody else had that same passion, you know, that same eye of the tiger, that same hunger.
Well, they do the first week.
Yeah.
Whether it's sustained is the key.
Right, exactly. And that's, yeah, that's the hard part, you know.
It's true.
No, it is true. I know. I mean, how many rehabs did I go to recharge my batteries? I wasn't interested.
I mean, you know, we were laughing tonight because when we put a kid into, you know, when we put somebody into recovery, you know, or that first week, we pay like their first week intake. We don't pay 2 weeks because they're not usually there the second week. You know what I mean? We will pay it, you know, if they're there, but most of the time they're not. You know what I mean? So that battle is a hard, long one.
You mentioned the eye of the tiger. It reminds me of the internal strength that we get.
Reminded me of Rocky.
Yeah.
What does that remind you of?
Can I get an amen?
Artie's playing on his. But yeah, I mean, when you were talking about it, the intensity of how you were saying it was really strong.
I guess that's where the desperation came in, you know.
Plus, that's the connection. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the connection that we have internally. Mm-hmm. When you have that, you know it. It's nothing that you have to guess about.
Yeah, but it's internalized. You know what I mean? From what Liz was saying, like, you know, it took years to get to that point where she knows, hey, I need to go to a meeting. Hey, I need to call my sponsor. Right. Hey, I need to reach out to somebody. But you know, those aren't skills you have the first week. Right. I mean, that's something you develop through time.
No, you just have to hang on and continue to be led.
Yeah.
I'm sure that you met some people that you went to meetings with early on. I know I did. And I kind of like hitched my wagon to what they were doing.
Yeah. when I first started going to meetings, you know, like when I hit my bottom, I just, it wasn't me. It was God carrying me. Truly, I believe that. And, you know, like I was going through the motions, getting out of bed, going to work, coming home. I would lay back down, you know, and I knew that, you know, like I had like a routine. I started a routine. I kept everything very simple for myself. Mm-hmm. I didn't get a sponsor right away because I was still in that. I didn't completely, truly surrender at that point.
You had a reservation, sure.
You know, and I was exhausted. So I kept it very simple, and the meetings that I would go to were very close to where I lived. So I would get up and, you know, I would just say to myself, almost convince myself, it's an hour out of your day. It's an hour. You can do this. And then just this feeling would come over me of this strength. And I would get up and I would go to the meeting. And I didn't want anybody touching me. Don't look at me. My head was down. I would sit in the back of the room. And, you know, it was nice to have a cup of coffee. And I would leave. But I didn't want anybody touching me. You know what I mean? Because it took that much for me just to sit there and get to that meeting. And that's how it was for me in the beginning. And, you know, and then I, months down the road, you know, it just seemed like out of desperation again. I got a sponsor and I started my process and I just, you know, kept on going and I didn't stop. And I got involved in service and I was GSR for my home group and then secretary for my area convention. And then I got involved in this wonderful East Coast Convention Committee with these wonderful people. And, you know, like...
That would be us, Johnny.
That's right.
I thought so.
Yeah, that's right. And that was
what a great connection.
How many years of a process was that?
It was three, right?
I was in for like two years. And I was young in recovery, too.
Trying to get 2 years now. We can barely get 28 days.
No, 2 years worth of service work is what we're referring to, not 2 years of clean time.
Hey,
so.
If you have any questions for Lizzie... or any of us, or a comment, 609-241-7103. The lines are open, so give us a call. Back to you.
Yeah, so, you know, I still keep those connections. Picked right back up on that, didn't I? I still keep a beat, right? But I still keep those connections. Obviously, I'm sitting here with you two right now. And, you know, what an experience. What a ride that was. A lot of hard work, a lot of dedication, and, you know, when we first started, those meetings were kind of like...
every week.
They were local, and then, right. You know, then they became for, you know, some of us who were traveling from, you know, South Jersey, they were like an hour and a half away.
Yeah.
And it was a commitment, you know, and we all had that commitment. You know, it was a great experience, and one that I'm really grateful for. Wouldn't trade it for the world. So it was a lot of hard work, I could say that. And, you know, it's just been, you know, kind of like staying plugged in, you know, with meetings since then. And, you know, I have a new sponsor and, you know. Life is good. You know, I have a wonderful job that I've held for 13 years now. And, you know.
I had one of them.
Yeah. And here you are retired.
Not by
Two
choice.
2 days into it.
Not by choice.
All streams awake.
Well, yeah. Liz, you're full of life. And that's what we try to let people know here. I mean, we all came to this program the same way. I mean, desperate, you know, hopeless. I didn't have a whole lot going on for me, that's for sure. Not that I have a whole lot going on today, but I certainly do some basic things to keep me, you know, I guess on track. Mm-hmm. You know, I send messages to people, and it's my messages have gotten so simple. It's like, stay the course, you know, three words, you know what I mean? Like, we need to be vigilant with this thing because, you know, it's a disease like we talk about all the time, Mart. I mean, your guys go into the houses for a week and they're gone. And I know why they laugh, because they think they're okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and there's so much more to come, and that's why people are dropping like flies. And Johnny and I are in many conversations about what more can we do? I mean, how can we strengthen our position to be of better service to people? Can we go to more meetings? Can we pick more people up? I mean, you know, we just keep doing what we're doing, and this is one of the things, like, we want people to know, like, look, I mean, I get it. I know how hard it is to dial 10 digits. I get it. But if your life is on the line, make the phone call. You never know. I mean, the miracle happened for me because I made a phone call. And I ended up in detox. And that was the beginning of my process. And I hear that from so many people. And I never expected to get the help I needed. Even though I was like you, desperate and total desperation, no hopes, no dreams, lifeless, just kind of like hanging on.
I just got an email from a guy
on the fringes
who wants to go into recovery, has no insurance, Medicaid. I mean, I forwarded him off to our interventionists, but the battle is all these people with uninsured, they're uninsured, they have no insurance, they have no resources, and the list of places that we can send them keeps getting shorter and shorter.
Right.
Well, yeah, it was supposed to be, you know, the government was supposed to make more funds available for treatment.
Well, if you've been following me on Facebook,
I think they will.
If you've been following me on Facebook, I'm working with the White House, Kevin and I, on Fund 1.1 Now, which is on Facebook. Basically, that's putting another $1.1 billion to fight the opioid epidemic across the United States, with each state earmarking so many millions of dollars, you know what I mean, to deal with the uninsured who can't get into recovery right now, to guarantee that everybody can get into it. And I think we've made a lot of headway, and they were supposed to be voting on that this week.
So. Yeah, let me know, Art.
So we'll have to see, you know what I mean, what happens with that. I know one of the other things that we passed is you know, we were working on legislation, which currently right now, doctors who are dealing with addiction patients can only prescribe Suboxone to 100 patients.
Right.
So that has now been upped to 270 last week.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I had heard of that.
Well, in the meantime, I mean, I think what we need to do is, you know, do what we're doing here. I mean, there's meetings available. You didn't go into any kind of treatment facility. You just walked into the rooms of the fellowship that you belong to and
right.
Let people help you.
You know,
and the uninsured people can do that. I know it's hard, but it's not impossible.
You know what? It can be done, but what happens when that person calls the addiction hotline and they're like, so, call us back every day for the next 3 weeks and we'll try to get you into a bed. Okay, I walked into an emergency room, I'm having a heart attack. Can you come back August 3rd? It's the same thing. How do you turn down somebody who has a medical need? You know, how do you tell somebody to wait 3 weeks? You know what they're doing? They're not waiting, they're going out and using. I mean, you know, and that's where we're losing these kids. You know, they're going out to get high, to not get sick, and that's the bam, that's the time that gets them, you know? Almost every single time. It's sad that our system has come to the point that people want help and we can't get it to them fast enough.
But we're trying.
We're making strides, that is for sure. Yeah, we are so much further than we were a year ago.
Yeah. Because look, it's hard to, you know, tell mom and dads that there was nothing they could do. Because they think, you know, a lot of them have said to me, what could I have done? Well, really, there wasn't much.
There's nothing you could do. It's not that you raised them wrong. It's
right,
not that
right.
You...
Well, that's the mentality sometimes.
Well, you always want to look to blame yourself. I mean, you know, we all want better lives for our children than we had before us.
Right.
And, you know,
right.
You wouldn't
so the education piece, is vital.
You know what? The education piece is essential because it has to start early. It should be starting in elementary school.
Right.
You're barely getting it in high school right now. Nevertheless, you know what I mean, at the early level.
Well, they had the DARE programs and all that stuff.
That didn't work.
You know, it's so funny. When I first started my step work process, and I would look at these questions and everything that it would bring out, and, you know, I was like, they should have some kind of questionnaire for kids for, like, a prerequisite to graduate high school. Like, they would have to do a questionnaire, you know? Because some of this stuff... It's awesome, you know, that it brings out with the step work questions. So, you know, who knows?
I mean, you know, we went and did, you know, a City of Angels, a lot of high schools around, like, that prom time thing where they would bring us in, you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, right. I remember you talking about that, yeah.
And we did a lot of that. Plus, you know, since we've started the task force, you know, it's a little hard with schools, you know, out right now for the summer, but... You know, we're already working with some school systems to start bringing what's called the REDS program, you know what I mean, here into Mercer County, into all these different towns. And that's raising and educating a drug-free community, where we would have legislators, police departments, paramedics, recovery, you know what I mean, all those people at one place, you know what I mean, to hold like a forum where people can get more information about, you know, how it's going to work in this county anyway. Hold the amnesty days where people can come in and bring their drugs and get themselves into, you know what I mean, into treatment, you know, with no charges.
Well, aren't they doing something in a couple counties in New Jersey that you can just go to the police station and tell them you want treatment?
Actually,
isn't that going on?
Actually, that really started up in Gloucester, Massachusetts.
Right.
I believe they're now offering that down in Gloucester County, New Jersey.
That's what I
you know
heard,
what I mean,
yeah.
as well. And that is coming around more and more here. I mean, some of the stuff that we have through the task force was, you know, the police departments are going to start using recovery coaches.
Right.
You know what I mean? So when they are, instead of arresting somebody, they would rather try to coerce them into recovery. And the same thing with emergency rooms. When someone comes into an emergency room, it shouldn't be, oh, yeah, here's some information, which right now they currently don't even hand them any information. If you just refuse treatment at that point in time, they release you with not giving you any more information on where to go get some help. Here in Mercer County, we have packets that they're given. That's all the resources that are available to them. You know what I mean? When they get arrested, when they go into the emergency room and all that stuff. So we're actually trying to develop a program right now where we can have recovery coaches on duty in the emergency rooms and on call with the police department. So when those situations arise, they can reach out to a recovery coach and try and, you know, coerce that person into, you know what I mean, seeking recovery or going to the next
level. Yeah, give them an option,
you know what I mean? Right, whatever
it
takes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Well, there's a company in Toms River that does that. They have recovery coaches on staff. And when someone goes to the ER, they call one of them to come over, you know, to come over after
the Narcan. We have those kind of relationships. I mean, even before, you know, as formal as they're getting with that now, we had police departments that, you know, they don't want to arrest somebody. You know what I mean? Because they know us or they know of us, and they're reaching out to us to, hey, can you come in? Can we drop them off? Can you come pick them up?
Right.
And we try and guide them, you know what I mean, through. They're like, hey, this person wants recovery. We don't want to arrest them. You know what I mean? And they'll reach out to us. So we're working hand-in-hand with the prosecutor here in Mercer County. You know what I mean? I mean, they don't want to prosecute you. I mean, certain things, it depends on what your crimes are. They really don't have any choice. You know what I mean?
Right.
Their hands are tied. But if it's just as far as a simple possession or a paraphernalia and you're seeking recovery, we had drug court, you know what I mean, here.
Right. And that's working out pretty well.
It is working out, you know, really well. And those programs are going to be expanded. You know, it's all about funds. So if we can get this additional funding in, I think we'll make strides, you know what I mean, in getting people into recovery. So.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that really what we're trying to do?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, we're not going to be
just
there.
Never thought it would come so fast.
Right.
I think drug court's a good thing.
Is that what you think, Liz?
I do.
We share the same thought. That's just another thing, Liz, we have in common.
I know. Signing papers, all
that
good
that?
Stuff, you know.
Yeah. You
How
do that at your home group?
helps make him responsible.
How about in Cape May County? You are in Cape May County,
Atlanta,
right?
County.
Atlanta County? Mm-hmm. So you're on this side about not even a few minutes out of Cape May County.
Right.
So what is it like down there? What are they doing for addicts as far as, you know, locally with the police departments like Artie was talking about? Is there much of that going on down there?
That part, I don't know. I know that they sign papers. You know, some home groups do it, some don't do it.
For drug court, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because I'm assuming that, and I don't think I'm wrong, is that the problem is just as widespread down there as it is.
Oh,
out there.
Yeah.
You know, if you go county by county.
It's probably worse there.
There is.
Because you're right closer to the ports of Camden.
Such an influx. I mean, it's so many young kids. So many mm-hmm. young kids. And, you know, it's sad, and they're dying. And they're dying, you know. You know, it's a place for them to go, and it becomes, you know, more like of a social thing. Right. And, you know, that whole recovery thing sometimes gets lost. And, you know, not enough of the old heads around, you know what I mean,
How do you tell a 20-year-old you are not partying anymore for the rest of your life?
Yeah, and then, you know, they hit their 21st birthday. I'm talking young kids, you know, 19 years old, and, you know, they're struggling. They're struggling. Heroin addicts, and they're struggling.
Opioids,
and they're dying.
Nothing but. And what, you know, it was a lot different back when we were growing up, too, you know? Wasn't as prevalent. It wasn't as cheap. Wasn't as readily available as it is now. So all them things work against us in our fight, you know? It's an epidemic.
It is an epidemic.
Now, that's the problem. What is the solution? I already just talked about some of them. So we don't rest until a lot of this stuff is done.
There really is no rest.
Is it ever going to be done? Is it ever, you know?
Well, I can answer that in myself. Mm-hmm. As far as I'm concerned,
right.
No, I'm not going to stop doing what I do. No, right. I'm going to do more.
Right.
Because it's... I sort of like dedicated my life mm-hmm. to stop this thing. Only what I could do with my part.
Right.
You know, but we work together.
See, our idea with the Fund 1.1 was working with the White House and trying to unite all the mom and pop organizations that are out there, like City of Angels.
Right.
You know what I mean? That are all fighting the same battle, except for, you know what I mean? We're all over the place, and we're just trying to concert those efforts. You know what
right.
I mean?
Yeah. Give us some of your thoughts. 609-241-7103. That's if you want to listen, www.coaradio.com.
You know, I just think, you know, for myself, I just stay in position and be ready for either a phone call or if I'm in a meeting and somebody comes up to me. And, you know, there's this one girl that's been calling me on and off since the fall. And she just, you know, she wants to, but then she doesn't want to. And, you know, you can hear it in her voice, and you can hear the fear and the shaky voice. And, you know, I just, I can't, you know, the more you try and force somebody, the more that they're going to walk away. And
right.
I've learned that. And, you know, like I had said before, I thought that everybody should have that passion. You know, and I couldn't understand why they didn't. You know what I mean? And just because I thought that recovery was such a beautiful, free thing, you know? And I just couldn't understand why other people didn't see that. But I had to understand that it's an individual process. And, I mean, look at me. You know, it was my first time in recovery, and I have 5 years. What about the previous years? All those years that, you know, I tried to
manage
and control.
And you're a special case. Let me ask you this. Did it take the first time?
Yeah.
So you were fortunate that you wanted recovery, and you were able to grasp and hold on to that the first time. A lot of people don't have that.
Well,
they're in and out.
Well, you're talking relapse. So all those previous years before I came into the rooms... That's kind of what I was doing, right? I was trying to manage it myself.
Right.
you know, weekend warrior, I'd go a month, but, you know, it always came back. You know, I had to put the fire out.
The hardest thing to do, as you're talking, and I'm thinking of this, the hardest thing to do for us, for anybody, especially for addicts, is to tell you about something and be excited about it and be passionate about it. If you don't have that experience, you're not, first of all, I was in recovery a while before I believed it. So I didn't have that passion yet. I had tombstones in my eyes for the first months and months and months. And I kept going to meetings like you did, not believing that it could work for me. So, again, since it is internal, and a lot of people fail to grasp that idea too.
Spiritual dilemma, right?
Yeah.
Isn't that what it...
Mm-hmm. So it's a disease with, that you can't see. Mm-hmm. So it's difficult to tell people that and have them believe you. Because they have to see, I know I had to see evidence. Mm-hmm. I saw people clean and happy and all. I thought they were full of shit.
Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing you said that hit me, though, is that you hit your bottom. Most people don't hit that bottom so fast. You know what I mean? Where they, I believe that's the key.
Where
you
they
know
have.
Until you have no other options, you really don't consider it.
Right.
Where they, bottoms have bottoms, right?
Bottoms have bottoms.
Have a trap door.
You know, so. But that's good. I'm certainly happy to be here and be involved and, you know, having this conversation with you, Liz, Johnny, and
Art. Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I know,
you know,
what we do works.
Yeah,
I mean,
but
I don't doubt it.
I don't doubt it.
I mean,
I'm
all four
right
of us here think we're pretty, have courage of our conviction. But again, to relay that to someone who can give you, can tell you, oh, you don't know. It's great out here.
But you know,
because,
as a...
Because they haven't experienced the other side.
Have you ever gone through the recovery coach training?
No.
You probably should.
Sign her up.
I think we should.
She's going to be a big volunteer for us.
Okay.
She don't know it yet.
I think we should. Recovery coach is basically what you're doing as a sponsor, but you're just there to guide them through the system. I can't make decisions for them. You know what I mean? I mean, I sit around and listen to them. And they get a lot of, how's that working for you? I want them thinking about it. I'm not telling you what to do. I need you to realize on your own.
You're planting a seed.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's our job to plant that seed constantly, constantly. Hey, I can't find work. You know, I can't hold a job. How's that working for you? You know what I mean? And now they're sitting back, and you just sit back and let them answer.
Right.
I mean... You know, the same thing when it's time to, you know, they want to go to a rehab or they want to get into detox. Well, here's the numbers.
You have to let them see it for themselves.
Right. I can't do it for you. You need to do it for your own or it means nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, seriously, that's how it has to be. And it's hard to get that past parents. You know, they want to make the phone calls for them.
Exactly.
They want to. I'm like, look, until they're doing this on their own, you're not helping them. You know?
They'll tell you, after I make his bed in the morning, then we'll call.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for you.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I
you know
hear
what
you.
Time it is?
Word of the week.
The pressure's on, so.
Yeah, you said you had a banging word.
Yeah, well, it's been a couple weeks. It's good to be back here. And it's great seeing you, Liz. It's been quite a few months, and
yes.
I really appreciate you coming off. And
happy to be here.
I'll tell you what, the word that hit me at dinner time was love. You know, I don't know why.
I love you.
But I don't know. You brought that to the table tonight.
With the whole tattoo thing?
Well, the tattoo thing
that was
part of it.
And I got to start coming to dinner. I'm missing out.
Yeah,
on
come on.
But no,
you can do it now. You're retired.
You know, just your aura. We talked about, you know, I guess living in that state of love.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I guess what made me think about it even more is that I'm not afraid of love anymore. I was always afraid of being able to receive love from people.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not afraid of that anymore, which is a really good thing for Ken. But anyway, love is a variety of feelings, states, and attitudes that ranges from interpersonal affection, for example, I love my mother, to pleasure, I love that meal, or I can refer to it as an emotion of strong attraction and personal attachment. Mm-hmm. And that's what we are here. I mean, you know, we're connected and we're one with, you know, carrying this message, being this message. You know, we walk down different pavements every day, you know, but we're still all about, you know, we're trying to save lives. We're trying to let people know that there's help if you need it. If you need it, you have to be honest enough to say that you do. If not, someone will say that for you. You know, you get arrested, you end up in, you know, the hospital overdosed or whatever. But if you pick that phone up and we make ourselves available like you are, you know what I mean? And I had a conversation in the car on the way here, and I was like, you know what? I called somebody and I says to him, I says, you know what? There's a few guys that I know, they always answer their phone. And you're one of them, which it's really nice. I'm one of those guys now. I answer my phone.
I always answer my phone. You know what? Even when it's, I used to be like, I don't know that number. But I can't do that now because I never know who's going to be on the other end. I mean, it could be somebody reaching out.
Yeah, exactly. I answer those no caller ID, that kind of stuff. Unknown
number.
Yeah.
One called the other day. I called it back, and they wanted to sell me solar energy. So that was.
Yeah, well, that's going to happen. But that's the word that I came up with, and I've been pretty good at coming up with words at dinner. Because I think it's important.
Yes, these revelations while he's chewing.
Yeah, no, no, you just like who you break bread with, you know what I mean? Like
it's the inspiration.
It's an age-old art, you know what I'm saying?
Well, get this. The connection among us is awesome. So it's almost like plugging in a plug to a socket. You get that surge.
No rehearsals.
Right.
Right.
No holds barred either.
No, no, we just show up.
We've had some wild shows on here.
Yeah.
But anyway.
As long as we don't talk about politics and religion.
Yeah, we're not, we don't do that.
Well, you know, thinking of the guys that got shot in, you know, in Dallas, and that's who we, you know, dedicated the show to. I mean, that's a serious thing. I mean, it's over for those guys, you know what I mean? And I feel the same way when, you know, friends of friends or family, they OD, and I'm just like, it's over for that guy. Like, why didn't he call? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, and I can remember, I was one of those guys, it was hard for me to make a phone call, but, you know, I got to a point where my ass was totally kicked. Like you, Liz. Mm-hmm. Desperate, done, hopeless, you know, at the bottom and not even looking for another bottom.
But you know what, though? And yeah, no, but you have to, once you hit that first bottom, though, man, that's usually your...
It's an indication.
You know, most people are going to reach for help or, you know what I mean? That's their cry for help at that point in time.
Well, they might, but then again, the sick mind says, well, I didn't get any breaks, but I'll do it better next time.
Mm-hmm. Here's what I tell my kids. Life sucks, get a helmet. Life sucks, get a helmet. I mean, get used to it. You know what I mean? There's nothing you can't do in this world that you're not going to get beat up a little bit on. You know?
Sure. Because when you see, a lot of it has to do with reality also. I didn't like reality. So I pretended that it was this way. I saw the world this way. And that's a whole part of the disease concept.
You know, I think the other part, too, is their environment. You know what I mean? Until you change your environment, you know what I mean? You're never really going
to
take that step forward.
You need to do.
Because it's the influence.
It's the influence of it. And I think that's part of the problem is people don't change that part. You know what I mean? And that influence is still there. My nephew, y'all know I've been dealing with my nephew.
Yeah.
He's back on the streets again.
Is he? He was doing good.
He was doing good. But weak because he's just not working the program and educating himself to the point that he'll know when he needs. You know, the first person that comes along and says, hey, let's go get high. Okay. You know what I mean? There's no discipline there. You know what I mean? He hasn't learned that part of it yet. He hasn't learned to reach out, go to a meeting, grab your sponsor. You know what I mean? Hey, it's going to happen. You're going to have those urges.
He hasn't learned how to say, what good will that do?
Exactly. And he's 18 years old.
I
so, again, there's another kid. How do you tell an 18-year-old, you know what I mean, who has a history of addiction in his background from his family, you know what I mean, that you can't do anything for the rest of your life? I mean, they don't want
to
hear it.
How do you tell an 18-year-old to pause. They don't know how to do that yet.
They don't know how to do that.
I had to learn how to do that later in life. You know what I mean?
Later.
And on some good days, I'm just like, wait a minute. I don't have to do that.
And you
I have a choice.
That, right?
Yeah. You know? So it's a learning process.
Well, again, I mean, like already mentioned it earlier, like who would have been open to that idea? I know when I was 18, I had a full-blown dope habit by then. I was in Temple University, and I thought I had my head on right. Just did a little too much heroin, you know. But as I started to get into it more and more, everything else didn't matter. Mm-hmm. So it becomes the focus. When it says we use to live and live to use, that wasn't a lie about my life. That's what I did. So that was the only thing I was concerned about. So I had tunnel vision. I was selfish, and all I wanted to do was fix.
Mm-hmm.
And I continued to do that. Plus, the other thing to that is it's physical. So I just couldn't say, all right, I'm not going to use today. That wasn't a possibility.
And if you were, you had to accept the fact that you were going to be sick for a few days until
right.
that happened.
Right.
Yeah. It's like having the flu.
But they didn't have Suboxone and all back then.
But that's what people did. Yeah. What happened when you went to jail? They handed you two buckets.
Right.
One
yeah,
for
one
each end.
One for front end and one for the back end. Yeah.
Right.
They put you in a cell with everybody else who was detoxing, and you detox together with your two buckets. That's how it
And
went.
When it was 90 degrees, it didn't smell very good.
No.
Yeah. I know how that
but
smells.
But that is the epitome of addiction.
Yeah.
You know. But, you know, yeah. and we do this for the simple fact that we want to change lives.
Right, and we'll continue to do it.
You know why? I do this because if we can get one person into recovery this week, I feel good.
I hear you. And I'm sure you will, Ward. I mean, your heart's in the right place.
Yeah,
you
do.
Wrong when your
I can't think
right
of anybody
place.
That does more than you, aside from Kevin.
Actually, we got a lot of good volunteers.
Yeah. Wow. With your lead.
We can use a lot.
So, that brings us to our events. What's going on, Art?
We have a lot going on. I
got an
that
email,
off already.
But I got an email, but I deleted it by accident. No, I did.
I believe it.
We have, actually, for recovery coaches, we're going to be holding the ethics training because they've added a piece to that now. It used to be 30 hours to become a recovery coach, and it is 16 hours of training to be of ethics training. We are holding some classes through the summer because if you're already a recovery coach and you get the ethics training, which is a 16-hour course, you could be grandfathered in as a recovery specialist with the state of New Jersey.
Wow.
But that has to be done by October. Or when you take the recovery coach class after October, it will be 46 hours instead of 30, and it will include, you know, the ethics training.
Right.
So we're holding the ethics training for people that are recovery coaches currently so that they can get that certification through the state and be grandfathered in without having to take that whole class over again.
When
so
is
that is July 28th and 29th. It's actually on the City of Angels website,
okay.
cityofangelsnj.org, and you'll find it under the recovery coach training sections there. We got the run coming up in September 10th. Yeah, that's our biggest fundraiser of the year. You know, it's time for people to start getting out and building their fundraising teams, register
that's
for the
at
run.
Trent Mercer Park.
Yep,
right?
That's all at walkwiththeangels.com.
We will be on the air that day, correct?
We will
what time's
be
that
on the
start?
Air that day. That's 8 till about 1 in the afternoon.
Lizzie will be a guest on our show that day.
Is that on a Monday?
Actually, it's a Saturday this year.
Oh,
Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, it was on a Sunday.
You got 2 months
last
to.
Year.
To take off work.
So you have 1 month, 28 days, 17 hours, 12.
Don't forget the Overdose International.
And
Overdose
then we
Awareness Day is August 31st.
Actually, National Night Out is August 2nd. And there's a lot of communities you know, in the midst of this epidemic that are holding. I mean, I'm going to Bordentown. I'm taking our display to Bordentown. We're going to be in East Windsor. We're going to be all over the county, you know, as far as City of Angels attending, you know, a lot of those national
Where did you and I go when we had the
table? Oh, we went to Roebling, I think it was.
Yeah.
That was in April or June
it was
or
hot,
May or
man.
Something. Yeah.
Oof.
Yep. Then the Democratic National Convention's coming to Philadelphia.
Wells
but
Fargo,
I believe
sir.
On July 27th, I'm not sure of that date, but there is a national conference on addiction in Philadelphia. I'm going to that.
The 25th to the 28th is the Democratic
Convention, right. I think the 27th right.
That's
holding,
at the Wells Fargo Center.
The 27th they're holding a you know, like a national forum. You know
where
I mean?
Where is that?
That's going to be in Philly. I don't know the exact location. I have it on my Facebook.
That's July 27th?
I believe it is. Yeah. You have to register online for tickets. It's free to attend, but you have to register so that.
Can you send me the info?
Yeah. I'll have to look it up when I get home.
Okay.
And then City of Angels Baseball.
Right.
We have our fundraiser coming up August 14th, and that is the Trenton Thunder play the New Hampshire something cats. Not my team. Not my team.
Let me see. August 14th.
That's a Saturday at 5 o'clock. That's a fundraiser from City of Angels. You can go to the City of Angels website.
Arm and Hammer Park, right?
All right, Arm and Hammer Park.
That's a Sunday.
Tickets are $11.
City of Angels fundraiser. What time is it?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
That game starts at 5 o'clock.
So that does it for events.
So I could think of the recovery coach training, the ethics training. In summertime, things are a little quiet, but
yeah,
it's all good.
So, Lizzie, any parting thoughts?
Any parting thoughts? I don't know. I'm just happy to be here with the three of you, and it's been an experience. Just really grateful for it. Grateful for my recovery because I get to meet people like the three of you gentlemen. And
thank you.
You know, yeah, just thanks for having me here. And, you know, if you're thinking about recovery and you're scared, give yourself a chance. And, you know, it's one day at a time. You know, it's a beautiful process. And I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but it's worth it because you have to understand that you're worth it. And, you know, we all get here in our own way, but we're here for you to help you. And we're waiting for you to call in.
We're here to guide you through this process.
That's right.
Absolutely.
That's right.
But you
well
have to
said.
Be ready for that.
Well put, Liz.
Thank you.
And thanks
thank
for being
you,
on
Liz.
The show.
Thanks for having me.
I want to
you
thank my co-host.
Love you guys.
Thank you.
Ken MacDonald.
Good to be here.
Always. And Artie. The,
yes, sir.
The ever-capable engineer.
Something.
Great to be with you guys again tonight. We're back. We rock. And again, I want to thank everyone, our listeners, our staff, Lizzie, our guest. And until next week, be well.
Whoop, whoop.
Be well. Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Whoa.